the mirror, how your word stands forth in this end time. There are those that are cold utterly, they're dead, they're back there, they have no inkling, no understanding. And there are theirs, Lord, who caught a little bit of a glimpse but are only lukewarm. And evidently they're playing something down, Lord, that shouldn't be played down. And then there's the red hot ones, fervent, white hot, past the stage of red hot, because this is everything. To them they have caught something of the major, Lord, where they make it entirely major. And they are not subjugating it to anything, but making it the subject. Help us to be that people, Lord. And if it does indeed have to do with your presence, as you yourself said in that same chapter, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, and open that door to me, I'll come in. Evidently, this is the place, Lord, where they're not red hot. And Father, we pray that this church shall be, in everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ entering these doors shall be in that beautiful position, the fervency of the revelation. Father, help us today to understand this and everything that comes against it and put it to one side, making ourselves more and more, Lord, of the fuel of God, just that word of God, true revealed word of God, burning within us and giving us that fervency. We commend ourselves unto you in Jesus Christ's holy, wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on, I think, number 21 of Satan's Eden. And we won't take too many more on this because I think I'm going to begin to synopsize what he has said rather than perhaps take it word by word. Or if I do take it word by word, then we'll read it a little more rapidly. Now, last Wednesday, we made note that one of the great deceptions, perhaps the greatest deception of this hour, that has been perpetrated upon Christianity by Satan is that Satan has erected a scarecrow in the form of a cult worship of himself that actually tries to induce Satan to work with them by ceremonies and immoral acts. And thereby Satan actually is turning Christianity away from the fact that the church will be fooled into worshiping him through perverted word, all the while believing they're worshiping God. Now that is the big thing you're looking at. The complete deception. Remember, Brother Branham spoke of the scarecrows as being a holy roller. The fanaticism of certain Pentecostal people turned off the reality of the Pentecostal movement, the true latter rain. Now, it wasn't the former rain. It was the latter rain, which means the Holy Spirit manifesting and coming in that age. Then there would be with it a former rain, which would be the original teaching, which people don't even know about. They don't even have a clue to it. It sits there in the Bible, and they say, well, that's wonderful, and they just walk right on, which is too bad. So they're scarecrows, and the scarecrow, of course, in this hour is what you're hearing all the time in churches. Wilkerson with his switchblade and the cross, and Dr. Dobson and the Menneth Meyer Clinic, and everywhere you go, book after book after book, and even in schools, they're deploring the fact that there is something somewhere, even the police are into it, and it's this terrible thing called satanic worship, where they have not yet found one real human sacrifice, but they found animals, and they go through ceremonial rites. They have certain drugs, like, you know, peyote, that the same that the Indians now can't use over there in Oregon, and because it's outlawed, but don't worry, they'll get it. And everything is relative to something which is thoroughly heathenistic in its concept, orgiastic, and come out of the world of any sane religion or the adaptation of anything which would be spiritual. So Satan rattles this skeleton. And everybody said, that's it, that's it, that's it. And they're looking down the road, and they got fooled with atheism and communism. Well, they got plumb fooled on that one, absolutely. The Jew baiters said, well, what you see it is, the Jews believe in one God, and hallelujah, we're Trinitarians, and they're going to make us all atheists, and then we're all atheists. And now, look, there's one God, we're going to bring you right back, and we're going to run you. Now, where has that gone to? Kenny Goff, the Gerald B. Smith, the Winrods, and some of you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you can learn it. Where has it gone to? Satan used a lot of tricks. And he's got everybody fooled, but a couple little people. Now, there's a guy down there, I used to be very concerned about him because I thought he had a lot in the ball. He's from America here, he's been down in Mexico, he's now in Venezuela. And, of course, he ran across the Branham cult, and because he got around the wrong bunch of them, made him Jesus Christ. His wife wrote a letter, and she said, that's the worst cult in all the world. Now, he sounds like a pretty good egg because he fights heathenism in the form of Catholicism. Then he turns right around and denies sonship by paternity. He throws out the fact of the seed of God. He's become entirely humanistic with the divine revelation and a divine measure, which is the true family of God. So where does he stand? And he sees all kinds of Satanism. Now he knows that the Roman church is the old harlot. But from there on, he's been completely beanbagged. He's off. What is the big thing Satan's doing? He is getting people thoroughly confused. And the confusion is this, and the truth is this, that he's trying to confuse. That Satan is being actually worshipped in the church system through creeds and dogmas, and it boggles the mind. But either you believe or you don't believe. And the simplicity lies in the Garden of Eden, where one word off changed this woman's allegiance. Now, let's say you men married lovely wives, and I think that's a standard evidence here in this church. So you run around with other women. Great, that's real allegiance. You lousy scudball. Now, women, you married a man that's true to you. And if you listen, you want some good stories? Listen around 1 o'clock, the Meredith Meyer Clinic, and you hear how women will tell you how they had an affair for years. And now finally, poor John can't take it, and he's gone. And Brother Branham, before it happened, categorically said, the man stays home now weeping because the woman's left him and the children. And I used to go, ha, 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 what a laugh. And he's exactly true, today's figures. A scuzzy woman running after men. Where's your allegiance? Then where's the marriage to Christ outside of his word? Who you married to? Because the Bible distinctly said if you lay with a whore, you become one flesh. So go ahead and do it. I'm not embarrassed to tell you. If it hits you with a 4x4 to wake you up, I'm not at all embarrassed. You know why? Because I struggle with a lot of things in this pulpit. And in this word, I emphasize because I know where the hardship lies. It is difficult to know what we've all been into and to clear our minds and see the reality. When you leave the word, you leave God. That Rhema and Logos is one and the same. You can't change because God has definition. And the definition is God. And it's living definition because it's living God. A few people engaged in what is attempted to be an actual worship of Satan is not end time antichrist worship. There's only one case of actual human sacrifice, and that's by that crazed Mexican who killed people in order to have an oath bound by Satan, and it doesn't work. So, there are some people engaged in an attempt to actually worship Satan and to get him to work with them. It is not atheism either. It's not the rejection. It is Antichrist as set forth in the Word, which means instead of Christ, there is now a vicar of Christ who takes the place of the Holy Spirit. And since anybody knows who knows anything about anything, there is no such thing as a voice in the wind. Every voice has to come through a being of some description, whether it be an animal or a human being. Witness the fact that the little donkey that Balaam sat upon seemed to speak. But when you go to the Bible, there's only one way that God will talk to people. That's through a prophet. Absolutely, through the prophet. And he will be the voice of God to them. that the Roman Catholic Church glommed onto it. They're the first ones who said, the Pope said, I am the vicar of Christ. I am here instead of Christ. I got here by a vote, which is simply politics. I got here by my knowledge, my ability, my personality, my aggrandizement of a situation. I've been voted in by my colleagues. I'm the vicar of Christ. Why, that liar from the pit of hell? You can tell right by his words he's the serpent race. He hasn't got a thing to do with God. He hasn't got one sign, hasn't got one thing to back him up. And yet the people fall for it. And the tragic thing is that now, through Pentecost and Pentecostalism, the Roman Catholic Church has the Bible for the first time open to everybody, and there is the movement of the Neo-Pentecostals within them. So now the Pentecostal and Jews are everywhere, and the Catholics are everywhere. The Roman Catholic Church is a Pentecostal church. They can say what they want because their hierarchy cannot come against it. So what do you got? It's like it was in the time of Christ. It was the ecumenical Sanhedrin by pressure and politics that organized and produced a canon of doctrine that took the place of Jesus when he was here in the flesh. And they judged him according to their canon of doctrine. And because he did not appear in their traditional interpretation of Scripture, which was evolved from their own reasoning, because no prophet told them point blank what the revelation was. It was merely a point blank series of words that contained a revelation that was hidden from them because their eyes were darkened to it. But they went ahead anyway, and on the strength of their own ingenuity, where one man no doubt could pick up the first entire five books and quote them by heart. You think it can't be done? Don't be ridiculous. There's a Jew in Calgary, Alberta, who tell you all the Psalms, verse by verse, and all the major prophets. And there was a screwball out there in Denver, Springer his name was. I suppose he's dead by now. You give him a verse of Scripture, tell you where it is. You quote the Scriptures, he'll tell you what all about. You know every verse in the Bible. If you had the time, you could start from Genesis and go all the way through to Revelation. But he believed little brown men were the heart of the earth, and they came up from the North Pole. Having got here, first of all, by flying saucers. He was a Jew-baiter also, as far as I can remember. So there you see it. That's what happened back there. So today, there is Alpha and Omega, and this is the Omega, as it was with the Sanhedrin. The people are getting together and together and together until those of diverse opinions, like the Sadducees who did not believe in resurrection or spirit, and the Pharisees who believed in both, and the Herodians, I don't know what they believed in, the Essenes, they were more like we would be, I suppose, gender-disposed people to go more toward the Word of God. But anyway, they had them all there. And we know the Sanhedrin is made up at least of the Herodians and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So today, the church is one great big vast system to interpret the Word of God exactly as they want to interpret it. And you're going to hear Brother Branham talk about all the Bible, all the Scripture, and these people did the very same thing, because the whole Bible, the whole Scripture, was laid out there before them, and they took their own understanding and thereby crucified Christ, and gave, and they were glad to relieve Christ, to relieve Barabbas, we don't know he's a murderer. People thought he was a murderer, but there's no real scripture to say Barabbas was an actual murderer. But we know positively that they took a criminal and let him free, and they said, all right, this man is a better deal than this man here. In other words, one man had nothing going for him except criminality. The other man had all the virtues and all the goodness and all the manifestations, and they turned him down flat. Now, let's be real careful here. It is not a church in flagrant denial and disregard of God and things that are spiritual, but like Eve, desiring to know and understand, takes a revelation from a wrong source. Now, we've got two things you're looking at. You're looking at the fact that the Sanhedrin and the world doctrine under the time of Israel where Brother Branham preached the sermon, there they crucified him. And he said, they're the holiest city in the world. They, the holiest people, crucified the most horrible death, him, the most perfect and perfect man, even God manifest in flesh. Well, though we're talking about that, at the same time, realizing what did it, you are merely pointing at Hebrews 6 that says they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. You are not talking in terms now of the literal disregard, of the casting out, of saying, no, we made a big mistake historically. This is not that one. You are not finding that. You are going back to the Eden. See what you're doing. Now, you've got an Alpha in the Sanhedrin. You've got an Omega in the World Council. But our Alpha, going back to the garden, is Eve. Now you're coming back to the word organization. And they are not saying, hey, there is nothing to it. They're not saying that. They are wooing the people by their creeds and their dogmas being off the word of God. Now listen to me. After 6,000 years, how far off is the Garden of Eden? After 2,000 years, how far off is the doctrine of Paul? Now, the beast came to Eve with the word of God, but it was a changed word. A revelation by reasoning, and the reasoning brought death. The word of God was not given to the beast, yet he did not hesitate to use it as though it was his rights and his responsibility. Now, come on, look at your church. The word was given to Adam and Eve with Adam. Number one came to Adam and Eve with Adam. So quickly, when the word was mentioned, because she heard it, she understood there's a word there, she listened right away and foolishly believed the lie. Now, that's a tragic thing right there, that this woman so close removed from God. Actually, she was one generation from God. Adam being the first generation, she being the second, though she was in him in the original. But we're talking now about physical. So therefore, he married his own product, his own sister, so to speak, whatever you want to put down. There's a scriptural little thing in there. Typing. One generation removed. What's that today after hundreds of generations? What about in the time of Paul? They couldn't wait for one generation there. Where are they today? So she foolishly listened and believed the lie. Her problem lay in letting the beast make the word a question instead of an assertion. Now, you say, what about today then when these ecumenical guys line up their dogma and make an assertion? They make their assertions based on a question. Now, come on, figure it out. Every assertion they make is based upon a question. And every question in this world pertaining to our mortality, our immortality, our spirituality, our present, our past, and our future is all found in the Bible. Every single question is answered there. But the answer is not sufficient to man because there are certain channels in there that God has also revealed that man does not want to take into consideration. So therefore, they change it exactly how they want it. And the attestation then comes by the human answer to the questions. And they are not getting the answers from God. He asked her one question, yea, hath God said? And she said, oh, yes. He said, you mustn't touch the trees. Why, he said, do you know? Of course, he said that that's not really true. Oh, is that so? Had she simply stuck with the word of God and thrown a coconut into his snout? But he was too handsome. He out Adam to Adam. Standing handsome figure there. Where do you think these great big tall guys come from? There were giants in the land when the sons of God married the daughters of men. They weren't fallen angels that came down and pressed themselves into human flesh and created and brought little children forth by maidens. If they had pressed themselves into human flesh, it would have been another human being they got into, that's all, and controlled them. What asininity. Man, he was a giant. He was. Why, he cut a figure, and don't you dare believe he didn't. Brother Branham gave some clues which I won't talk about. There. It's not that I'm that insensitive. Don't worry. I'm not a sensitive person like Brother Branham was. I could have just blurted out to you if I wanted to. But he lays some things in there that are the truth, what it was all about. Now, her problem lay in letting the beast make the word a question instead of an assertion. When a question is asked, it is based on reasoning by comparison. So when he asked that question, he had to bring her in such a way as to lead her out on it. And the minute she reasoned, she opened the door to another kind of life, a life of doubt and unbelief, and specifically a misunderstood revelation of Scripture. For reason cannot replace true manifested revelation. She already had it. She could have said, hey, just a minute. What makes you think I'm not content with everything the way it is? You know, people aren't content with the Word of God the way it is. They got to change it, got to change it, got to change it. Then what kind of Word of God are people believing today? If in the days of Paul, they already had another gospel. I'd like you to sit and think a while. You talk about you need to discuss something in your Friday meetings and you're running against yourself trying to figure something out. Figure that one out. Start talking about it. What is the other source of good news? We want to know what it is. It's the Roman Catholic Church, an ecumenical move. Hey, we got a maid. Join us. We forgive your sins. Pray you out of purgatory. And the money goes to a good cause. What's the cause? Because. Don't think there's not women down the road. Come on, you got to be sick. Where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. And where there are oxen, the crib isn't clean. So let's understand Scripture. Now, let's go to some reasoning. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, it tells you distinctly, 24:24, there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch even if possible they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. Now right away, you have people who will take this verse of Scripture, Church of Christ, and a whole bunch of others, and they say, there you are. Mark 16, never was in the Bible, it's completely gone. Shows right here, this fellow here can heal the sick, raise the dead, do everything else. They don't understand it. Because they fail to understand Deuteronomy 18. So in their human reasoning, they say, hey, we haven't been able to produce Mark 16. So therefore, we know we don't need it because the Bible's written now. There was a time when there was some evidence needed, but we don't need the evidence. Faith is blind. We don't go by sight, we go by faith. So therefore, this is out. Now they conveniently turn around and say the devil can do this. Not realizing that these are the days of the son of perdition where Judas had a Holy Ghost ministry, though he himself was serpent seed and the devil overtook him and he became the incarnation of Satan in flesh. Now, the Bible's written. Nobody needs prophets. Deuteronomy 18 is shot, forget it. Now, if there were prophets, bit of a story. But we're telling you, there are no prophets. Who said so? We did. What's your authority? I speak for Christ. You see why I'm sarcastic and malevolent when it comes to this Roman Catholic ecumenical Protestant hogwash? You think I'm going to trust my life or anything on a bunch of people so stupid? I may be nuts. But they're completely gone. Just like the Bible said. Now, reasoning. Reasoning has to do absolutely with conditions that are either physical or related to the physical by means of spirit. I brought the spirit in here, but I'll tell you this reason. If it weren't for the physical, we wouldn't be here. But we are here. And there's a discrepancy between the physical and the spiritual, and we try to reconcile them. And how do we do it? We do it through reasoning, analysis, and synthesis. That's how it's done. Now, in the Garden of Eden, he right away introduced her, and he said, now that's a physical thing, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I said, what about? Well, she said, I tell you, we can't take it. We're going to die. No, he said, look at here. How do you know unless you try? I got news. You're not going to die. See? God put you here in this garden. It was all made for you. You think God's going to defeat his own ends? Now, hold it. Let's stop right there about God defeating his own ends. Jesus died upon Calvary for the sin of the whole world. Now you're trying to tell me only the sons of God. It's an atonement. Only a son gets the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, you've got God confusing himself. Oh, no, not at all. It's the devil's lie. Started right there in the garden. What blew people's mind in this message to begin with? 25 years ago, as Brother Branham prepared to leave the scene. Predestination. How many understand seed? I almost came to blows with an idiot down there in Macon, Georgia. I understand he's changed, but pardon my expression, because when I get cheesed off, I'm cheesed off. I'm sorry. I cannot call vomit, brother, sister, a good turkey dinner, although I could eat it and turn it into vomit. When a man in the face of a vindicated message denies the existence of seed, as though we become rather than I, the man is completely deceived. As Brother Branham said, they made a corn of wheat, or a grain of corn. Every layer in it, scientifically compounded until you could not tell the synthetic from the real. Well, they said, how are you going to tell? Put in the ground and see if it'll live. Because seed is seed. And you dare not disassociate seed from life. So you see, reasoning. Paragraph 55. Now, by unbelief in all of God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. Now, how could it be unbelief in all the word? Because that's all the word she had. That's all the word she had. That was all of it. Now, more word came as God dealt with these people. Now you tell me, was that word believed? No. Now Adam wasn't fooled. He went right into the sin. He shouldn't have done it, but he had a physical body and he got enticed. Well, you say, what did he do? Well, she got him all excited. Let's understand the point of the matter. She got him all excited. What are women to do? Wearing no clothes on the street, everything else. They get men excited. And women think we got dirty imagination and everything else. It's no imagination when you go out there naked and we can see what you got. Are you crazy? If Brother Branham said if his mother had gone on the street wearing the clothes of women today, they'd have said she's insane and locked her up. Phew, I can't understand people. I'm not going to try. Well, I can understand, all right, because I can preach what Brother Branham preached. By unbelief in all of God's word. One word off always ruins the whole thing. Brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. The seed of unholiness as concerning the human race, not his own. There's no unholy cow out there. There's no unholy horse out there. There's no unholy sow out there. There's no unholy, unholy female dog out there. That's right. Seeds original. Now, God has to preserve two seeds in a human vessel. We find unholiness comes in there. Comes by the serpent seed. And it ends in a totality of rejection of God's word, as you find in Revelation 3, because they are saying one thing and God is saying another thing. Now, we're going to get white hot. How strong are you for this message? This mustache guy with the cleft palate that lives up there around Chicago goes to Europe. And he lets the people know, I'm offended when they say, are you in the message? And this young kid over there, still Pentecostal, he took up the offense too. And I said, hold it, boy, hold it. If you're not in the message, you're not in Christ. Can't get white hot over the prophet's word. Don't even know that the Son climbed on the Father's throne. Don't even know what erects you. Bless God, He's here. God is here. He's doing the same thing He has done and will. Compare Scripture to Scripture. God's never painted Himself some big thing on earth, but always dwelt among, not in, but among the common, humble people. And here He is this morning, doing the same thing. The Scripture vindicates it. The camera vindicates it. Mention my name in churches around America and I stink. Why? Well, you see, a little lady tells this man who phones her, see, Lee Vale, he's got his own message. Have I? Do you think I'd preach the things that William Branham preached? Or maybe like some foolish individuals accuse me of giving Brother Branham the wrong word, like Lindsay's daughter said, well, as long as my dad was with him, he kept him straight. Do you want to know his history? I can give it you back of my hand. Brother Branham told me all about it. Oh, I'm a scandalmonger. Monger, you might as well know. You think it's not already white throne time? Do you think the handwriting isn't on the wall? Do you think it's not over this morning, brothers? Listen, don't kid me and don't kid yourselves for God's sake and your own sake. Tell me, what are you looking for? There's nothing more to look for. Except the culmination of what is here. And that is when that spirit that's amongst us becomes incarnate to us. We'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you're not supposed to be white hot over that. Well, that's just a minor thing. God was in Christ creating. Oh, that's just a minor thing. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Now, unbelief in all of God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. The seed of unholiness is to go right along with the devil challenging the word. It can't be so, it can't be so, it can't be so, it can't be so. What's the use? What's the use? What's the use? Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. I had a friend telephone me the other day. He likes to bug me. He can't figure Brother Branham was Elijah to him. I said, just ask me one question. He never got around to answering it. I said, don't go to your Bible now. Come on, forget your Bible. I should have said, you got all the answers, big mouth. But I didn't. I said, you give me one answer why Jesus needed John the Baptist. Okay. Want to look at it? Look at the scripture. Come on. Let's find out who this Jesus is. Some kind of a crackpot that needed some kind of backing up. Here's the story of John the Baptist. The angel said to Zechariah, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even before he's born. And many of the children of God shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before the Lord God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. If he's all of this, who needs John the Baptist? And you talk about a dope. He's here among you. I'm going to punch him. Look at this. Look at that. And he says, hey. Were you really the one that was supposed to come? Or did I make a mistake? Well, come on, let's put the action, the spirit into it. Let's get down to nitty gritty. And who do you think you are in the face of vindication? Well, we didn't really need him. Well, you give me one reason why Jesus needed John. He was a flat tire. No, he wasn't. Greatest prophet ever lived. Didn't have one miracle. Born with the Holy Ghost. The seed of God always gets the Holy Ghost. In the womb or out of the womb doesn't make any difference. Amen. That'll tie you into knots, won't it? Anybody got ulcers this morning? That's either poured cream on or gave you a dose of lemonade or vinegar. That'll pucker it up. Sir, we're now entering in where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist in an Eden on this earth, an Eden of this earth, an Eden of sin, perverted religion. He started not upon, I am Satan, the great angel. No, not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. And this is how he has brought his kingdom in every age. It's a continuing thing. There wasn't one prophet who wasn't withstood. Which of the prophets have you not slain or persecuted? What about it? Why? Because they were a part of the great Christ. They had that part of the word. And that is how he brought his kingdom in every age. And now in this great deceitful age, ready to take his throne by his people. His people? Cain was of that wicked one. Oh, all the Pentecostals want to tell you that means he followed in Satan's steps, you know. He wasn't really a child of the beast. No thing of serpent seed, you know. You become serpent seed if you're right, Jack, right? Yeah. Somebody's crazy. Spiritually, mentally gone. He has built himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. Throw it in their face. For this cause have I raised thee up. That I might show my power and might in you. Vessel of destruction fitted to wrath. God wouldn't do that. Even poor old Abraham got a bit zonked out. Why he said the judge of all the earth. He wouldn't do wrong, would he? I hope. I'm on the right spot now. I just don't believe that you let the righteous perish with the wicked. Oh, he said, certainly not. Well, he said, if there's 50 there. What does he start with, 150 or so? I forget anymore. I could read it right. And he gets it down to about 10. What? He said, God could have said, hold it, Abraham. You recognize me. And you're a good old boy. I love you. You're my friend. That's what I'm telling you. But I want to tell you, Abraham, no, not fun. Will perish with the wicked. I don't lose any. I raise them up at the last day. I'm going to that resurrection. I can see where Job, he didn't care about the boys or anybody else. He said, I know in whom I have believed. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. The last days I'm going to see him upon the earth. I'm going to see him in my flesh. I'm going to see him for myself. You didn't get him fooling around. Yet God had to rebuke Job. There is none that God doesn't have to rebuke, because we're all born in sin, shaped iniquity. Come in the world speaking lies. We know these things. But Satan has built an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. Right. Scientific preacher, scientific church, scientific theology, everything science. What does it mean? Based upon everything that they know in the physical, so they adapt God to it. And so the beast said, Satan and the beast said, Eve, he said, oh, surely God won't do that. What do you mean? Oh, come on, girl, look around you. Look around you. Surely he wouldn't do that. Why do you think he put you here just to kill you? Oh, come on. Everything based upon something that was there at hand. Look, when you look beyond the veil of the Word of God, which takes revelation, you will not see what you think you're going to see. For I have not seen your ear heard. There's just a bare little inkling. And no man has seen God. You've got to meet him on his own terms. And if there is a God that we can meet on our own terms, there's something very fishy. Because I see about a billion people meeting God in their own terms, and everyone is different. The whole church is built upon knowledge. It isn't built upon faith. Why? Because faith is a revelation. See? Right here, Brother Branham is talking in terms of everything that's called God. They call it the force. They call it spirit. They call it this. They call it that. They use the Bible. It's all open before us. One time I went in to hold a meeting in a man's church. It was a great auditorium in the West. A fine man denied these things we're talking about. See, he doesn't believe in healing and those things. I like the man, fine man, an old man. When his congregation went out, he seated about 6,000 people. When his congregation went out in the afternoon service, he had about 1,500 there. They're all dressed fine intellectual people. I sat there and watched them. He preached a very good sermon, the man did. And then he asked if anybody wanted to accept Christ. Just raised up their hand. No one raised up their hand, so a woman raised up her hand. He said, all right, now you're a Christian. And he made her for baptism. Then he went out and dedicated the baby. I kissed the little baby and made a prayer over it and dismissed the audience. When his congregation went out, all fine, scholarly, educated people. Now, he's not critical when he's saying this, like sarcastic. He's just saying, reiterating. He said, these people here got brains. There's a girl came one day to the late Dr. Cliff. By the way, he's the man that invented chiffon pies. You girls know all about him now. He worked for General Foods in Canada. A brilliant lay minister of the Anglican Church. And no doubt he was saved, but he didn't understand a lot of things. But he understood the phenomenon of God. There was a girl who came out of a very wealthy family. And nobody could control her because she was incontrollable. Sexually, she was a complete mess. Now, in the States, you talk about if a person going with a black person, that's a very bad thing. In Canada, they had no blacks, but they had Chinese. And so the story was she slept with every Chinaman in the ditch and everything else. And she was a complete goner. She had an interview with Dr. Cliff, and she said, I have no soul. Devil speaking through her. Now he said, would you expect me to believe that? He said, there's not a hair on your head that's not in place. You're coiffed perfectly. You're dressed beautifully. If you had no soul, the least you'd be doing is slouching in here like some defeated, demented moron with perhaps a pin holding another garment in place. You'd be dressed in sacks and God knows what. Oh, he said, yes, you have a soul, all right. And he began talking to her. They were at the altar of the Anglican Church, and an actual light burst into the room. And she looked around, and she said, where am I? She'd been gone for 16 years. The girl found Christ in a phenomenal act of God, a miracle, because this man believed in miracles and saw thousands of them. See? Scholarly, fine-dressed people. Educated. Her case of total oblivion It's not what everyone goes into, but I just illustrated to you that the woman had a background which was essentially a good background until something happened to her. And now you'll notice that she's a real theologian. I don't have a soul. The beast didn't have a soul, but he certainly prepared Eve to believe that he had one, didn't he? Fine, scholarly, educated people. I was standing there to shake the man's hand, wishing Godspeed as he went up. When I did hear, came in my crowd. They couldn't let them in while his crowd was there. Mine came in wheelchairs and stretchers and straitjackets, insane, everything else. You see the difference? That's it. That is the thing I'm talking about. See, it's something different. Now, what you're looking at here is Brother Branagh simply saying, my ministry, which was given through this intercourse with God, this great ministry of a gift of healing, the discernment and all those things, does not attract the educated people for an educated answer. It's not meant to be something that will employ the educated people's minds. It'll be something that makes people say, listen, there is a God. There is something here I don't understand, but it works. These people want nothing to do with that because they cannot understand it. They cannot reason it. There is no other pillar of fire except the pillar of fire that followed the apostle, rather the great prophet Moses. There's no other pillar of fire, and they don't even call it a pillar of fire that came to Paul. You know, they wouldn't call it that. They'd call it a cloud that came at Pentecost. But they cannot associate that to this hour. There is no way, because they're looking at it as students from an educated viewpoint. We're going to figure this thing out. See? When by scientific knowledge, that social, political gospel, easy believism, you can make all understanding gospel. Now, this is what the people have today. By scientific knowledge, you take the whole word in the Bible and you give it your human understanding. You could even go so far as to say, he that believeth on Christ shall not be condemned. And they'll say that. Because, you see, they can say that and say, this has done it. If you don't believe it, how could the Roman Catholic Church sell indulgences to people who had not yet sinned, making sure that they were free when they did sin? So I paid for that. You could kill, you could bamboozle, commit adultery, anything you wanted. You paid for it. Because the Catholic Church could not produce this. She had fallen from the virgin church that she once was and adopted paganism and idolatry, so she couldn't do it. Neither can the Church of Christ, the Baptists, and the rest. It's easy to say, hey, listen, he died, he died, he died. That's great, that takes care of it. Well, what about it? My Bible tells me that he died to take away condemnation, but in spite of his death, there is still condemnation. So figure that one out. You know why? Because you don't believe the word. The light's not there. Now, these signs fall in belief. See, he fails to put it in there. See, this nice man with his congregation, they had no time for that. They'd say, hey, it's either hallucination, it is hypnosis, or it is the devil. They never got healed after all because there's nothing there. They were psychosomatic. Now they find about everything else, but everything is psychosomatic. Almost every single thing. They'll say they explained it away. So there's no signs to follow them. Now, he failed to put in there. See, she believed on Jesus Christ, so the woman is saved. She raised her hand. So she's saved. See? But she cannot believe on the signs following. And yet the Bible says, he that heareth my word, not just anything, not just hear it, but understand it. Now let's go back to what I was talking about. Can the people understand Mark 60? They rejected it. Then how are you going to understand Deuteronomy 18 that describes prophets, and there are no prophets? How are you going to take John 14 and 12, greater works than this shall he do, and believe this man could say, that Christ had more success in his life and ministry than he had in his own. Now, do you think anybody's going to believe that? Nobody but us. And even us, we're not too hilarious about it. Well, we should be. White hot about it, everything that was done. Because you see, the more that's done, the more solid the vindication. Amen. You know, actually, if you had gold and they'd let you use it, the more gold you'd pile upon gold when the big break comes, you'd be the best off. Well, why don't you turn it in for the gold of God? Book of Revelation suggested. Trial of your faith. Put your knowledge to one side and put your faith into action in the fully identified ministry. Now listen, Brother Branham says, the prostitute can hear it and remain a prostitute. See? A drunkard can hear it. A liar can hear it, remain a liar. But he that heareth, understandeth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life. In other words, that person is no longer a liar, no longer a prostitute, no longer a cheat, no longer murder and so-and-so. Brother Branham's ministry is vindicated. So therefore, if you believed in vindication, you could believe his word. Here we find the separation that's mentioned in the Word of God. Right here, in Brother Branham's ministry, complaining this man's ministry and this man's word with William Branham's ministry and William Branham's word, and let's go to Matthew 24. Vindication. That's the name of the game, brother, sister, the name of the whole thing, a vindicated message. Yeah, vindication, my foot. Pentecost said, thus saith the Lord, did thee? I was in Pentecost nearly all my life. Well, not all my life. 18 to about 30-some years of age. Anyway, had thus saith the Lord. They'll lie about anything. Now listen, there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, show great signs and wonders, much as they were possible. They should have seen the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. See, all right? And notice, therefore, if they say unto you, behold, is in the desert, going out forth in the secret chamber, believe it not. But what? For as lightning cometh out of the east, shines even the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, the coming of the Son of Man be is going to be with attested signs and wonders, proving that this is the same Jesus back here in the Spirit who's over there in the flesh. You're going to bring the same word. Same one. Same light in the east will rise in the west. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Now watch. The eagles will be gathered. Okay. Let's go to the book Revelation. We're going to go to Revelation, the 4th chapter. And 6 to 8 verses, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes and four behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of man, the fourth beast is like a flying eagle. How many beasts are there? Four beasts. One was a lion, one was a calf, and that one was a man, and one was an eagle. Now let's go to the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. All right, number first verse, and one of the beasts. Which beast would that be? Would be number one. Okay, seal number two, there's another beast. And number three, there's another beast. And in seal number four, and that's where the whole thing ends, there's another beast. What beast would it be? Eagle. The first would be a lion, the next would be a calf, the next would be a man, and the last would be an eagle. So, it runs its entire course and comes back to an eagle. Prophet. Comes back now to Revelation. And notice, at the time of the eagle, the voice says, come see. And at that time, when the east, the light from the east comes to the west, and the Son of Man is thoroughly revealed, and so is the Son of Perdition, waiting for the Son of Man to be immortalized by reincarnation, and Satan to be reincarnated. At this particular time, it says death and hell followed upon that beast under the time of the eagle. So it tells you a true prophet and false prophet. It tells you truth and a lie. Which way are you going? And power was given over them to begin to destroy in the earth. In other words, it's the last shakedown. the devil takes over. Then Christ come back and take over in Revelation chapter 19, which will look unto you. Now, this Brother Branham says, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Amen. It's in all the sovereignty and foreknowledge of God. He lives alone, and there's nobody tells him what to do. Now, with that in mind, how are you going to go to some church that's got it all laid out in a book? And every church has got its own book. And every person's got his own idea. There's coming a day, like Brother Branham said, if only 10 people had the same thoughts, could say the same thing, there'd be a rapture. Well, there could be more than that. I don't know. Now listen, now by unbelief and taking all the word of God has brought a sin of unbelief, unholy, sinful, hatred, eternal death in this sinful, intellectual church age. Now he's telling you right there something that we must be aware of. There is the whole word of God that can be taken and is before the people. And at that particular time, you are going to see this terrible separation and these terrible things upon earth. Now, let's go to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, and read about it. And Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. He says, verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out. There should be a period there. Now notice, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He's here. A great healing revival is taking place. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the word began. Now he's telling you at that particular time, in the presence of God, the gospel will go forth, and the heavens positively must keep him there until there's a restoration of everything spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. So you've got to have a complete revelation of the entire Bible. As Brother Branham said, the prophet in the former reign plants the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent seed right to the very end. In other words, the revelation is coming forward. For Moses truly said, the fathers, the prophets of the Lord your God, raise up in you your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things, whatever he shall send to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. And Brother Branham said, God's his own prophet. Every time God came to a prophet, he incarnated that man. God was his own prophet. But he had to use a figure. He has to, because you've got to associate to creation here. And that's exactly what God did. That was in God, to associate with creation. The living God had life within him. He had the ability, he had what was really in his heart, intrinsically, within him, essentially, to be a part of it. How can he do it? Through his race, his children, bringing forth. And that's what he did. See? And we're the children of the prophet by reason of that word. Him you'll hear in all things. Listen, it'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. I want to tell you something. That did not happen the time when Jesus Christ was here. It did not happen. They were scattered worldwide. But at the end time, it does happen. Because it's got to. And the Bible simply says, at that time when Elijah comes, the earth is going to burn, leaving neither root nor branch. It's going to be all over. So what prophet is it? Elijah. But the Elijah said, God is his own prophet. The Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man. God, but it comes by a prophet. Again, he said, our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. Again, not a man. But the Holy Spirit to take us in, the pillar of fire leads us in. Do you think people believe that? They cannot believe it because they were not predestinated to it. And that is also a cop-out. You'd be surprised if you say, well, you see, I might not have been meant to believe it. Maybe sister sitting here, well, Brother Bill, I wasn't meant to have the insight my husband had. What are you supposed to sit on it or something? What are you talking about? You got to vote in the church? It means you got to regard your own welfare. Some churches say, well, we won't let the women vote. That means the husband is going to stand for his wife. Not on judgment day. You'll stand for where you led her wrong. You didn't keep her right, but she'll stand her own 2 feet. And don't you forget it. You women got to vote. You better watch your souls. All this talk about a weaker vessel, hogwash. The only strength that men have beyond you is their more endurance to sin. And now we find women live longer, so you got more time to do it, and you catch up and beat us. So what's all this nonsense? Better understand weaker vessel means. It just means she can't handle the Word of God, that's all. But she can handle the understanding of it and feed her soul. And she'd better. Positively. There's no two ways about that. Now Jesus said, no man can come except my Father draw him. How many people believe in sovereignty? That's the first thing the devil tricked her out of. See? Now he's got this terrible church. It's all wound up in one great big mess. Now, Eve only had one word off. How many words off do our church have, our Eve? Another Jesus, another gospel, another Spirit. Okay, 62. And in this intellectual theological seminary that has brought out an intellectual person that's been trained how to speak, what to do, how to show their emotions, and everything like here is in psychology, 3 and 4 years to know how to deal with a man's mind, see? The Spirit of God is not something that is schooled in you. It is something that's predestinated into you by the hand of Almighty God. Your spiritual experiences cannot be schooled or taught into you. It's predestinated by God's hand and God's foreknowledge into you, and that is right. True. But it doesn't mean that a lot of people can't imitate perfectly. You know why? Apostle Paul tells us. Look it over here. 2 Corinthians. We read it just the other week. 11th chapter. We're talking about these false teachers that are ruining the gospel. These elders that went astray. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, telling you how to get saved, how to be right with God, whose end shall be according to their works, which is burning. He's telling you that this man that told that woman that she was saved and led them away from the truth, that man and his converts will die. Now, you're going to come around and say something different? Now, here, this is a tricky spot. Well, you're condemnatory. Nobody's got it but you. I always get that thrown in my face. I say, well, you want to look at it that way? Look at it that way. Talk to the Methodist. He's got the same opinion. Go to the Baptist, he's got the same opinion. But if out my mouth, then I'm wrong. And tell them to shut theirs. Make the Catholics shut up. Make the Protestants shut up. Make them all shut up. They're all a bunch of cults. And we are too. So now I'm supposed to deny my freedom? Well, you see, you're hateful. Why am I hateful? Because I believe there's a prophet with genuine signs and wonders. You can't win for losing. That's why when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will club them. You'll neither buy nor sell, you'll die. And the fruity's virgin be hunted down like dogs and destroyed. Don't think the Catholic Church didn't do it. And don't think the Protestant didn't burn Servetus at the stake either. Who did that? Calvin. And he wasn't born again. He was a very clever French theologist. But he wasn't born again. Augustine didn't have the Holy Ghost. The stupid Protestants think that Augustine was the guy that brought out the doctrine of predestination. I find it in my Bible. Paul did it. And I find that Jesus did it. What are they talking about? Shows their ignorance. Their complete complicity to a false religion and a worship of Satan, though they deny it. And you know what? They'll be so happy to kill you, they'll dance on your grave. Sure. Don't think they won't. They'd be happy if you're here. They'd be glad to destroy you. Because you bug them. Because you're one stooping, dissenting voice. And thank God our dissent is not with politics. And with the government, it stinks. Leave it alone. Let your dissent be with ecumenism and the world council of churches and the lies that are being hurled onto the world. And they'll have signs and wonders because Matthew 7 says so. Though you did them, I don't know you. Now, he brought forth this great Eden that Satan did, that they now live in, a world church Eden. They're all uniting together now at the great ecumenical council and going to have the world church all coming under one head where Satan will be thrown. Now, he doesn't say he thinks he'll be thrown. He said he will be thrown. And if you think the Pope isn't ready for it, why has he already had a throne and three crowns? He's got two crowns to prove he's got what God said, and he's got a third crown to prove what he made up. And they're all gold, so he makes money. He's got the crown of heaven and the crown of earth and the crown of purgatory. Interesting. And all the popes died. All the popes died. And not one came back to tell the truth, if there is any truth. And not one had a sign for his dogma. Not one had any vindication or indication. It all lay in politics. The convenience of a mind. Do you want your mind convenient this morning, brother, sister? Or do you want your mind inconvenienced by the Word of God? And that's where your true peace come in. The more I preach this, the better I feel. Physically and mentally and spiritually. Got no problems. I have no problems with God's Word. I got it with myself. And that trouble is I don't fill myself enough with God's Word. That must be the answer. Now listen, the last call is going out to catch the bride before she gets into that. What? Into the World Council of Churches. For once in that, she has taken the mark of the beast and doomed. She will never come out of it. That is the reason I say, come out from among them, my people, before it goes into him. See? Come out from them and be separated. Now, did Brother Branham have the actual vindication for Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people? Did he have the vindication to be that voice that spoke in Matthew 25, come out and behold him? Did he have the actual vindication to say that he was the one who God used and the Lord descended him with a shout, which was a message, which was a command? Is he the one that told us concerning 1 Corinthians 15, that mighty one that descended to put the church in order? Was he that one? Well, you know what? The world's going to explode one of these days. It's going to go. Somebody better come in a hurry. What happened at Chernobyl? Nobody really knows. But it was a meltdown, wasn't it, really? You're beginning to admit it. Hinting at it. And now they say they don't know how far it went down into the earth. And the earth is full of fissures, right? And there's water in the earth. And the middle of the earth is hot. It's full of molten lava. And the water gets down there and turns into steam. And the steam comes up through the fissures. And earthquakes shake it loose. Is anybody safe from Chernobyl? No. What about America? Talk to Don Hockenberry. You all know him, don't you? Sat here many times with this. He was one of the fellows, I mean, he was a shop steward there, had 70-some men under him for the grievances and all. And they had this great big solid concrete vat for cooling. The painters were down below painting it. And he saw it was resting on Clip's mansion. Resting on Clip's. And one of the Clip's was already bent. And all that radioactive water would have come tumbling down. And Don says many times they let radioactive water go down the river. But that's a smart engineer, isn't it? Can you imagine that engineer sitting here this morning? What kind of an engineer? Put metal clips. You'd put trusses, stanchions, and God knows what to make sure there's no slippage. Polluting America. Mary got away because she's married, not America's time yet. These are the smart minds that are running the universe. These are the educated men that are in the churches. These are the ones that have made their own gods. And it's a scientific God. We just take the universe and do what we want with it. And now they're getting scared, real scared. Because the Greenpeace and some environmentalists know that God will destroy those who destroy the earth. Only they say,
We
will destroy ourselves for doing it. Sure. Now, hatred, death, and eternal separation from God is in this Eden. Lust, filth, perversion. How? By sowing the wrong seed. And, of course, the question is this. How are you going to come back to it? You can only come back to it by coming to the Word of God and an eradication of the wrong seed. Because the sower went forth to sow. And he sowed good seed, but at night a man sowed amongst them tares. And they said, shall we pull the tares up? He said, by no means no, unless you pull up some of the good ones. In other words, all down through the ages, they must exist together. And if you try to blot the bad seed out, you will destroy good seed. It's impossible, because they lie in the one vessel coming down through the channels of life. So he said, let them go to the end time. And they did. Now he said, the harvester come. There's another parable. He said, the king of heaven is like a man that sowed a mustard seed in the field, the least of all seeds, and it grew and covered the whole earth, and the birds of the trees came. And that's a wrong, evil sign. God's Eden is taken over entirely by the enemy. How are you going to get out? Let me tell you something. If God doesn't bail you out, brother, sister, there isn't one word in here that tells you how you're going to make it. You find it. All you want, you tell me where God, where the Word of God puts his finger on and said, now you people that are going to be immortal, I'm going to tell you exactly all about it. Here it is in one sentence. You tell me you can't do it. Like you can't tell me, why did John the Baptist come before Jesus? Who needed him? And you're going to say like the Jews, well, he was a farce. Who needs him and who needs him? Now who needs him and who needs the one that's here? Hallelujah, we got it. Well, come on. Now, where did they get it? From smart, superior brains. Just a Kentucky hillbilly. I can't wait for them to get back and see that Kentucky hillbilly. And to hear them Kentucky hillbilly witticisms. And hear that Kentucky hillbilly word of God. And far as I'm concerned, the whole world is one big state of Kentucky. And Indiana was a nice place he stayed for a while, but he'd also like to hire. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word of truth, which we know to be given to us in this hour. It's no longer a darkened hour. It's no longer an hour we need to worry about. For it has been clearly distinguishedly said unto us that Satan is going to be worshipped in it by believing that they're worshipping you, and that takes care of it. But Lord, we're not in that, because we know that the true God has been revealed to us. Because that's exactly what you said, that your Son would reveal him to whomever he will. And we appreciate that so much. We thank you for the word of truth there for this day. And Lord God, help us to get white hot concerning it, to be fervent in spirit as never before, and make this our one life and our one way. If we can't do any more, and get out there, Lord, and to beat tin cans with a stick and scream the presence of God, help us at least to do that. To understand, Lord, and say, understand what Brother Branham said, he is here. I declare to you by vision, he is here. Camera caught it, everything. And we stand with the Lord. Help us to be white hot. And this word, Lord, that we hear today, to see the two messages, to see the two vines, to see the division of people, to see all of this thing come up, Lord, because the people are divided today, because we know that you've come, your prophet has come. The true anointing is in our midst, the true baptism with the Holy Ghost in us, and the great baptizer himself present. Pillar of fire to take us into the millennium. These things we know, Lord. Help us to be very, very sincere, very, very sober, O God, yet very, very zealous. If not zealous, Lord, of telling people, they don't listen anyway, be all the more zealous within our souls that thank God we have been one of those whose eyes have been opened to see the truth and the glory of our Lord. Unmistakably, a part of the kingdom, the wheat gathered in the garner at the time of the great thresher himself, whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purging his floor, gather the wheat in the garner. We know, Lord, nothing was left to chance. You did it, and you brought a man like John the Baptist to point us to you who are doing it. We appreciate that. We thank you for all these things. We cannot praise you enough. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.